The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Shmuel Selinsky.
Our topic today is the laws of Pilei Ilan. This is in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Ayin Dalet, 174. The laws, Hilchos Pilei Ilan, the laws of mixed species of trees, Ubo, Gimel, Sifin. And in this are three paragraphs, three sections. Now, Pilei, Pileiim, refers, it's usually translated as mixed species, which is fairly accurate, as we will see shortly. The halakha of Pilei Ilan, mixing species of a tree, refers to grafting one species upon another, and it essentially the gardening aspects, the horticultural aspects are like this. Let's assume we have a fruit tree. A very nice tree, but the roots are weak. A good example of this might be peach. Peach trees are notoriously weak-rooted. The roots get diseases. They're not very drought-resistant. On the other hand, a very close relative of peach, the almond, has extremely strong roots. It's drought-resistant. It's disease-resistant. Fantastic. In today's world, what is often done is a almond tree is grown, and when it's a small sapling, the almond top is cut off, and then the branch of a peach is attached, grafted on where the top of the almond tree used to be. They will fuse together and form one plant, which is then basically the fruits will produce from the top, and what you'll get with peaches. However, the roots are almond roots that are doing the work, and it's strong, and it's sturdy, and it's forbidden from the Torah, because it is mixed species of trees. Again, the bottom line here is mixing the species through grafting. What is done occasionally are hybrids are made. Someone will take the pollen from one, and mix it, fertilize a flower on a different type of a tree. Examples of this are pluquat, which is a combination of a plum, and an apricot, right? And there are others along this line too. However, this is not forbidden. The key is that each has to be viable, be able to live on its own. In other words, one can take the rootstock of the, let's say, the almond, as we were talking about it, and the almond can grow into a perfectly good almond tree. Or one can take the top, the branch of a peach tree, and induce rooting, let it root, and grow a peach tree from it. Each on its own could potentially live. That's a requirement for Pilei Ilan, the combination of mixing species in trees. However, when one makes a hybrid and takes the pollen from one tree and uses it to fertilize flowers in a different kind, the pollen in and of itself would not make anything new. And so far as the flower goes, without pollen, it also won't do too much, although some trees are self-fertile, and they can produce fruits without being pollinated. But because the pollen itself is nothing, therefore that is actually permitted in terms of the Torah. If a person has a pluquat, a plum-apricot combination, then they are allowed to plant that as long as the roots are also a pluquat root. Good luck trying to find one. They're not so available in the nursery industry. Most fruit trees that one would find in the nursery are indeed grafted. It's perfectly permissible to have the same species atop grafted onto the same species bottom. An example of this would be grapes. Grapes, a seedless grape, obviously doesn't grow from seeds. You can't get seeds out of a seedless grape, by definition. However, a branch from a seedless grape can be taken, and it can be grafted onto the top, the roots of a seedling grape, and together, those roots will, it'll fuse together with the top, and the top will grow, and since the top was a seedless grape, what you'll get are seedless grapevine coming out of it, even though the roots are from a different type of grape. Perfectly permissible because it is still called grape. It's min bamino, the same type on its type. As opposed to what is forbidden is min shebe'eno mino, the type that's on roots that are not its type, not its species. So let's take a look at the first paragraph in the Kitzer here. Aleph. Kile ilanos, the mixed species of trees, haray, heim b'chlal, behold, they are included in Masha Ne'amar, that which it says, sadecha lo sizra ki layim, your field, do not sow it as mixed species. Okay, this is in Leviticus 19:19, and it is the pasuk that we learn it out from. Now, sadecha means your field. Where is it your field? Only in the land of Israel. Lo sizra, do not sow, ki layim, do not sow it mixed species. Well, sowing means throwing seeds out. And the truth is, this is exactly what this pasuk is talking about. Not to plant two different species in one field. Not to plant corn and beans together in the same as a mixed planting, to throw them out and plant them together. Or any types of two different kinds of vegetables together. Or wheat and barley together. Where do we get trees from? Well, this is includes, your field would include also orchards, would it also include tree crops. The thing is, the next part of the pasuk talks about animals, and latu larvia behema, don't mix animals together, don't crossbreed animals. And crossbreeding animals, as we've seen, refers to, let's say, making a donkey and a horse, breeding them together to get a mule. This is independent of the ground. And the fact that the two are in the same sentence, the sages learn out that what this means is that, so far as trees go, it'll have the same rules as breeding, interbreeding animals, horse and donkey, to make a mule, that's forbidden. So too, taking the roots of one tree and putting the top of another tree onto it, that is also going to be forbidden. And by the way, as we'll see shortly, just as it is forbidden to raise donkey and horse together, to have them breeding together anywhere in the world, it's independent of the land. So too, tree kilayim, mixing the top of one tree with the bottom of another tree, is forbidden anywhere in the world, not just in the land of Israel. As opposed to the beginning of the pasuk, which says, sadcha lo sizra, your field you should not plant with kilayim. Well, where is it your field? Only in the land of Israel. So from this we see that planting mixed seeds in a garden of herbaceous plants, vegetables, legumes, herbs, and grains, only applies in the land of Israel, whereas the trees, mixed breeding of trees, applies anywhere in the world. Okay, so that's from the pasuk. So what is it saying here? The Kitzer continues. Alpein, therefore, asur laharkiv, it is forbidden to graft. Now that's how we translate it, but you see the root of that is rochev, resh chaf beit, which means to ride one on top of the other. That's exactly what we're doing with grafting, putting the one type of tree onto the bottom of another type of tree. Asur larkiv min v'she'eno mino. One species in that which is not its same species. Kagon, for example, anat shel tepuach, a branch of an apple tree, be'esrog, that's grafted onto the roots of an esrog tree. Completely different species. To try to graft one on top of the other, it is forbidden from the Torah. O esrog b'tepuach, or the opposite also, to have an apple tree roots and try to graft an esrog onto it. Now, what about grafting an apple on an apple? Perfectly fine. In fact, what we can do is there are apple trees available that are called an orchard tree or a fruit cup, a fruit cocktail. There's many names for this. It's marketing techniques. But basically, they'll take a trunk of an apple tree with the roots and graft onto it four different branches of four different kinds of apple. You'll get a red apple and a yellow apple and a green Granny Smith and a cooking apple. And just four different kinds of apples can all come out of this one tree, and they're all perfectly okay because it's all apple. If one were to taste it, close your eyes, take a taste of that, the crunch, and that's an apple. Okay, there's different kinds of apples, different tastes. Apple is apple. It's perfectly fine. Okay? Now, a filu, this where it is forbidden, however, is also a filu even, meaning hadomim zelazeh, species which are similar, this one to this one. Kagon, for example, tepuach betuach yari. Vikiyotzi, and similarly, things like that. Now, tepuach is an apple. Tepuach yari, does that mean a crab apple? It could very well. If you taste a crab apple, it tastes nothing like an apple. But there are other very close relatives of apple which it might be, and it could be a hawthorn, because the hawthorn berries are the same family. If you look at them, they look like little tiny apples. They are edible, if you cook them, but they're very different. Let's say maybe it's a crab apple. Let's say maybe it's a hawthorn. Let's say we don't know, which happens to be the truth. So in such an instance, we're going to have to say, hey, whether it's a hawthorn, whether it is a crab apple, they're all going to be forbidden, because some of these names that the sages used, it's unclear exactly what they are. We're talking about a prohibition from the Torah, and we're going to avoid it. By the way, almost every apple that you would buy in the nursery, even though there are many different rootstocks, they're called malling rootstocks. They make it dwarf. They may control the size of the vigor of the plant through the rootstock. These were developed in England. They're all from apples. So apples are one of the fruit trees that you can buy without worrying, is this a grafted species on a different species? The concept of the similarity with crab apple and apple is true. The graft would take very easily, but forbidden because crab apples we're going to call different. Kevan shehem shnei, meaning, since they are two species, asurim zebezeh, they're forbidden, this one with this one. Now, if it's forbidden for us, for asur also, le'Yisrael, for a Jew, lahaniach legoy, to allow a non-Jew, sheyarkiv lo ilono kilayim, to have grafting being done by a non-Jew for the sake of the Jew. Anything we're forbidden to do, it's going to be forbidden for the non-Jew to do, and we can go even further with this particular thing with the grafting of fruit trees. Not everyone is going to say this, but according to Rambam, Maimonides says very clearly that in the laws of kings, that non-Jews are also commanded to not graft fruit trees with different species. Also, interbreeding animals is forbidden for non-Jews. This goes back to the Garden of Eden. It is something that the way the creation came out is the way we should try to keep it. Great. So far as this goes, it's not one of the seven mitzvahs of the Noahide laws. However, it's still, Rambam says, forbidden for non-Jews. Since we're talking about this aspect of keeping the creation straight, what about genetic engineering? Well, genetic engineering, we're going to have the exact same situation as by the pollen from one tree and the flower of another. It's like a hybridizing, but the bottom line is the genetic material that's going to be inserted into into a living cell, that genetic material could not survive on its own. And therefore, it's permissible, according to some opinions. It's a massive topic. If you're interested, by all means, research it, check it out. It's pretty fascinating. But that's one side of it where it would be called permissible. Okay. Now, my edition of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I don't know if all of them do, but mine has an asterisk where it says Asurim Zebezeh towards the end of our paragraph Aleph. It's forbidden this one with this one. In my asterisk down below, it says V'chein, and similarly, Asur Laharkiv, it's forbidden to graft Yerek Be'ilan, vegetable, herbaceous plant, onto a tree. You can't cut off a tree, a woody plant, and put a vegetable, a herbaceous plant, onto it. V'af Yerek Be'yerek, even a vegetable with a vegetable. One cannot cut off the roots of one plant and put it onto another. Now, you may have graftings done that are the same plant, but you cannot put one type of a herbaceous plant onto another type of herbaceous plant. An Ilan Sirach, a tree which is sterile, a non-fruiting tree, the Ilan Michael, and a fruit tree, Zebezeh Asur. This on this is considered forbidden. Okay, whereas, I'm going to keep reading, Sirach Basirach, a non-fruiting tree with a non-fruiting tree is called mutar, is permissible. Okay? And then in parentheses, however, yesha kosvu shetov lizaher. There are those who write that it is good to be careful about this. Okay? That's from the Chacham Sadam and Pishechuba. So what we have then is, let's take a look at a fruit tree which is going to be grafted onto the roots of a non-fruiting tree. This actually can be relatively common. There are inedible types of plants. They're closely related, strong roots, and they can graft the top onto it. Such a thing would be completely forbidden. Also, the flip side, to have a fruit tree and graft the top of a non-fruiting tree onto it would also be a problem. However, I would like to clarify something. It's popular, certainly in colder areas, to grow flowering fruit trees, a flowering cherry, a flowering peach tree, flowering plum. Now, these things are a completely different story because it's still the same species. It's simply that the flowers are sterile and will not produce fruits. But a double flowering peach or a double flowering cherry tree, those things, they often have Japanese names because that's where they're developed, and they're grafted onto the base of the roots, the trunk of a regular cherry tree. This is permissible. It's still called cherry on cherry. Okay? By the way, cherries, many say that the sour cherry and the sweet cherry are still all called cherry. So that's going to be perfectly fine. We're going to see about this shortly. But the thing about it really is that what makes a species? So there are a number of criteria that make something to be called a particular species and to be the same. So there are a few things. Number one, if there's slight variations in the color or shape of the produce, of the fruits, That does not matter. That's not called a different type. Like white or black figs. Like the different kinds of apples are still called all apples. Like cherries. Now, the sweet and sour, if you taste the sour cherry, does it still taste like a cherry? Then it could still be called cherry. Okay? Citrus are very interesting because are they called all the same flavor or not? And then we have a different issue with lemons that are often used as a rootstock. So with citrus, we have to be careful. If the citrus rootstock is a sour orange, that would be fine. It's called chishush in Hebrew. That would be fine. Okay, another factor may be similarities in leaf shape. If the leaf looks the same, that could indicate it's the same species. Or if the leaf looks very different, it could indicate it's a different species. Cherry leaves look the same. Okay? Also, if the fruits have widely differing tastes, then they could also be considered different types, even though they're similar in other ways. Does sour cherry taste like a cherry? Yeah? In that case, you're fine. Does that Italian stone plum, the prune plum, taste like a plum? Yeah, it's a different kind, but that would be okay. Okay, some talk about also names, some talk about also the ripening times, but the primary criteria are those first three about the fruit. Is it looks similar? Is it a similar kind of fruit, but the color or whatever is just different? Is it a leaf that's similar? And is the taste similar? Okay, any questions, really ask a Rav. It is complex, and it needs consultation needs to be done with a Rav who knows these matters. Again, since it does apply in areas outside of Israel, we do have to pay attention if you're planting a fruit tree in your garden, or in anyone else's garden for that matter. Or if, as we just saw, even if your non-Jewish gardener is going to plant the tree. You can't have them do that for you. What about the fruits of such a thing? They are permitted. And that is why most people are unaware of this inside or outside of Israel. People don't think about it so much because it's not something you have to worry about when you go to the market. But it is something you have to worry about if you're planting a tree. I'd like to mention one other type of kilayim, of grafting of fruit trees, which is relatively common, and people may not be aware of it at all. Cactus are grafted often, because many cactus have sensitive roots or they don't grow well, so they're grafted on a rootstock, a stem of a different kind of cactus, and therefore that stem will provide the energy and strength to help sustain the top. Commonly, a particular type of a round cactus, they zap it with gamma rays, it knocks out the chlorophyll, and what you have is a bright red or a bright yellow cactus. They call it moon cactus, if you will, but these things are very popular because of the bright color of the round cactus, and it's grafted on top to a triangular-shaped stem of a different kind of cactus. Well, that triangular-shaped stem is a fruiting type of cactus. That fruit is marketed. It is called pitaya. And what you have when this cactus is grafted on top of it, it is a non-fruiting species on top of a fruiting species and forbidden. So if you see one of these attractive cactus in the nursery, do not buy it. Okay. Now, the kitzur is going to continue in base. Let's take a look. Asur, it is forbidden. Lekayem hamorkav kilayim. To maintain, to keep alive this mixed species of kilayim, this grafted fruit tree. Avol hapri, but the fruits, as we mentioned, hagodol nimena, that grow from it, mutar, are permissible. You don't have to worry about kilayim when you go to the market. Umutar lekach anaf, it is permissible to take a branch, Minha Murka from the grafted tree, Litoa Bamako Maher, to plant it in some other place. One can cut off a branch. If they separate the two become permissible. Or, if you see there is a grafted fruit tree, and you would like to grow a fruit tree like that, but unfortunately you can't find one that is not grafted, you can cut it off and try to root it as a cutting, one of the branches from it. Or you can even grow your own seeds, grow a peach seed, and graft that type of peach onto it. That way you can get your Alberta, you know, peaches or whatever. It's like, but be careful because the stuff in the nursery is really problematic. The biggest problems that one can find are usually in the stone fruits. Stone fruits are a fruit where there is one pit in the center, such as peach, such as plum, such as apricot. These are big problems. On the other hand, the others are much easier, but you've got to know what's going on. Like I said, apples are okay. Remarkably, the fruits of Israel do not have any problem because they will not accept a graft from another type of another species of tree. Pomegranate is fine because you're only going to get pomegranates on pomegranates. Grapes are on grapes. Olives are on olives. There's nothing to worry about. Dates, you don't have to worry. It's a date palm and no problem at all. By the way, a mulberry tree, where if you get a fruitless mulberry, because sometimes people don't want the mulberries dropping all over and staining everything and the birds, etc., well, a mulberry is essentially a male mulberry tree. They come in male and female separately. Grafted onto whatever it may be. And if it is a female, that is not called a sterile, a non-fruiting tree onto a fruit tree. It's merely different types of the same, even though male and female, and the only one that gives the fruits are the female. So to buy a fruitless mulberry would be perfectly fine. Okay. When we say that maintaining such a tree is forbidden, that would mean watering it. That would mean planting it, certainly. That would mean also pruning it and doing things in order to try to make it grow better, fertilizing it, all of these things. So if one has a grafted fruit tree in your yard, ask a Rav about what to do. There are times when one may keep that in there and not have to uproot it, but there are other times when it must be uprooted or left on its own just to die without watering or whatever. Ask a Rav, that's what the Rebbeim are for. Okay, in Gimel of this, we have the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch explains Kile HaKerem, that's mixed species in a vineyard, the Kile Zerayim, and mixed species of herbaceous plants, vegetables, grains, legumes, as field crops, etc. Enam Asurim, they are not forbidden, B'chutz Loretz, outside of Israel, they are not forbidden, Elim Kain, unless Zora, one does plant shnei mina tavua, two types of grains, or shnei mina yerek, or two types of vegetable, together in zera keran, with a seed of a grapevine yachad, together. So if one takes a seed, two different seeds that would be called kilayim to plant in a field in the land of Israel, and they were to take, in addition, a third seed of a grape pit, and to throw that out and plant that, that is considered forbidden to Rabbanim, even in areas outside of the land of Israel. And by the way, again, we have a little note, and the note tells us that the laws of Kidinei Kile Yisrael, the Kile Kerem, the Eretz Yisrael, those laws of mixed species of a herbaceous plants or in a vineyard in the land of Israel, Rabo Sefot Basof HaSefer. Look in the editions in the end of the book, and you'll find those over there. Okay? Well, happy planting. Don't be discouraged. And may your gardens be as kosher as everything else that we're all trying to accomplish. Thank you. Take care.
The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now doing Simen Kuf Ayin Hei, Hilchos Klei Behema, Halacha Aleph. Asur laharkiv zacha al nekeva mishnei minim. It is forbidden to mate two animals, one male, one female, from any different species. Bein bebehemas, bein bechayas, bein beofas. You cannot mate different species which are domesticated animals, which are wild animals, which are birds. Va'afilo ligrom she'arkivo osa. And even to do something which would cause them to mate is also forbidden. We do not allow crossbreeding of animals. Halacha beis. Asur lasos melacha b'shnei minim. It is forbidden to do melacha with two different species of animals together. Kigon. Such as lachrosh, to plow. O sheyim shechu es hakaron, or that two animals of different species together will pull a chariot, v'afilo lahanhigam bekol bovad, and even to guide them merely by voice, in other words, to coax them by voice to come when they are doing the work together, shu'ut solak aleim, as he calls out to them, asur, that would be forbidden, imhim kshurim yachad, while they are tied together. Ulachain, agalah shogoy. Therefore, when you have a chariot of a non-Jew, shekalayim moshkemaso, which is drawn by different types of animals, umasa sheyisrael alho agalah, and there is a load which belongs to Jews on the wagon, also liyisrael sheyelech samach laagalah, it's forbidden for the Jew to be close to the wagon, dechashinan shema yitzak aleihem, because we're concerned that maybe the Jew will call out to the animals that they should go faster, and this would be forbidden because he would be driving animals of different species together. Halacha Gimel, Agala, Shaklayim Moshkin Osa, if there's a wagon that animals of different species are pulling it. Osir leishiv ba, it is forbidden to sit on it. Afilo eino manhig, even if he is not the driver. Halacha dalid, agala shemoshkin osa min echad, a wagon that is being drawn by only one species of animal. Lo yikshar min acher lo bitzida velo lacherer. One is not allowed to tie a different species of animal neither on its side or nor in back of it. Halacha hey, asur likshar shnei minim yachad afilo rak mishim shmira. One is not allowed to tie two animals together, even if it's not to do any work, but it's only for protection. Shelo yivarcho, so they shouldn't run away. So, for example, if someone has a pet dog and a pet cat, you would not be allowed to tie them together. V'yesh lizaher bezer ba'ofos, and you should be careful about this with birds, shelo yikshar shnei minim yachad, that you should not tie two different types of birds together, shektsas toin bezer, because some people make mistakes in this. They don't realize it is forbidden. Halacha vav, pered, a mule, hu habamin asus v'hachamar, which comes from a horse and a donkey, v'yesh bo shnei minim, and it has within it two different species, meaning it comes from two different types of animals. Yesha aviv sus v'ima chamara, there are those whose father is a horse and mother is a donkey. V'yesha ima susa v'aviv chamara, and there are those whose mother is a horse and his father is a donkey. V'hem klayim zeh b'zeh, either way they would be considered klayim to each other. Ulachein habar likshar shtei prados, Therefore, someone who's going to tie two different mules together, bodek b'simone oznayim v'zona v'kol, so he has to check in the signs of their ears and of their tail and of their voice. Im domin ze laze, if the two mules are similar to each other, they have similar features, b'yadua she'ima mimin echad, then we know that they both have their mothers are from the same species, meaning either horse or donkey. Umutarm, and then it's permitted to tie. However, if they do not have similar features, then you have to suspect that you have one whose mother is a donkey and father is a horse, and the other whose mother is a horse and father is a donkey, in which case they are klayim one to the other, and you would not be allowed to tie them together. V'yesh omrim, there are those that say, Dafilo pered echad havi klayim, that even a single mule would have the status of klayim, mishum dibar mishnei minim, since it comes from two different species of animal, v'aser lasus bo melacha, or lurk of a love, in which case it is forbidden to do any melacha with it, or to ride on it, because it's as if you are working or riding two different species of animals together. Simen kuf ayin vav. Hilchos klei begodim. This is the laws of shatnez. Halakha aleph. Tsemer rechelim ve'elim im pishton osur mishim klayim. Wool of sheep or of goats that is mixed together with linen is forbidden to wear because of the prohibition of klayim, of shatnez. Bein shetofer beget semer in beget pishtan, whether the two garments are sewn together, afilo bechute meshi o bechute canvas, even if it's with threads of a different type of material, such as silk or canvas, Bein shetofa beget semer bechute pishton o beherpech. Or, if you have a wool garment that is sewn with threads of linen, or the reverse, you have a linen garment that's sewn with threads of wool. Bein shekasha chute pishton im chute semer, whether you have, you're tying threads of linen together with threads of wool, oh, shakolon yochad, or they're braided together, kol elo asura mishim klayim, all of these possibilities would be forbidden because of shatness. Hatokef tkifa achas uksharoi, someone who joins together these different materials and ties it, or, oh, shetokef shtei tkifos afa bishalo kasha, or he makes two stitches to join the materials together, even though he did not tie it. Either way, that's considered a sufficient joining to consider it prohibited. Therefore, it's forbidden to merge, to attach a wool garment with a linen garment, even with a needle that does not have any thread. Now, it's just to use a pin, a needle, to attach them together, that would be usur. Halacha beis. Oros hakvasim sh'osnehen begodim. Lambskin with which garments are made, muta letofron bechute pishtan. It is permissible to sew them with threads of linen. The ein choshishin lenimos shatsemer, and you don't have to be concerned about the hairs of wool. Afa pishim is chavrim bechuta pishtan, even though they are being attached to the threads of linen. Mishim de elo hanimos shatsemer einon chutin velo chashivi ubali, because these small hairs of wool, they're not considered threads, and they are insignificant, and in which case we disregard them. Halacha gimel, lechaber tzemer upishtun ayidei emtzai, to join together wool and linen through some medium, dehainu chatichos ar, which means to say, if you have pieces of scraps of leather, litvar Olikshar mitzido echad sema umitzidar asheni pishdan, and one ties on one side of it wool and the other side linen. La Rambam aser min haTorah. According to the Rambam, this is prohibited from the Torah. V'yesh mekilin, but there are those that are lenient with this. Ulachen lididho oras hatfur miachad bechute pishdan. So therefore, according to this position, those hides that are sewn together with threads made out of flax, mutar l'chabram tachas beget semer, you'd be allowed to attach them underneath a wool garment. V'af apisha efter shalchut shal canvas shehu tofer es ha'oros tachas ha'beget shal semer, even though it's possible that the thread of canvas which you are sewing the hides underneath the wool garment, yikones betochut epishon, it will enter into the threads of the linen, shetfurim behena oros, with which the oros are sewn. Less lain bar, we're not concerned about this. V'hochi nogen, and this is the minute to be lenient about this. Avo bal nefesh yesh lo lahachme kedas Rambam. However, someone who's a conscientious person, he should be strict to follow the Rambam's position and not attach wool and linen even through some other medium. Halacha dalad. Afilo eser matzoos zeh agabe zeh. Even if you have 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, v'hatachton klayim, and the bottom one is klayim, aser leishav al elyon, it would be forbidden to sit on the upper one, because you would be benefiting from klayim. Halacha hei, beged gadol, sheklayim b'kotze echa mimeno, if you have a large garment that is klayim on one edge of it, aser lachasus atzma ba afilo b'kotze hasheni, it would be forbidden for you to cover yourself even with the other end of the garment, even though the klayim is really resting in the ground, you're not really wearing the klayim part of it, because it's forbidden to wear any garment that has any klayim anywhere in it. Halacha vav. Hatofek sus klayim bishvil goy. Someone who sews a garment of shatness for a non-Jew, tofro kidarka, he's allowed to sew it normally, afapishak sus munach al arkuvosov, even though the garment is resting on his knees. Ubevad shelo yichavein lehanos mimah shemunach alav, as long as he has kavana that he does not want to benefit from that that is resting on him. Which means that if he says, wow, this is great, it's warming me up in this cold day, so that would be a problem. V'chein mochweik sus. The same thing is true about someone who is selling a garment. Shenosin osun akispein lemochron, that he puts it on his shoulders because that's how he sells it. Mutar, he's allowed to do so even though it has shatness. Ubevach lo yechavnu, as long as he does not have kavana, sheyogenu aleim if neyatzinam neyakshamim, that it is protecting them either from the cold or from the rain. Mikol makam, but in any case, hayureim, those people who have yerushimayim, nosnosun agabi makel, they should really hang it on a stick and not on their shoulders. Halacha zayin, mitbakas hayidayim, these are hand towels, v'chein mitbacha shemekanchim ba achar harachitza, and these are towels with which one wipes himself after they wash, u'mitbachas ha'shulchan, these are table napkins, sha'okhan alav, the people eat in it, maybe they're more like mats, u'kiyotzeben and the like, v'chein mape sha'al ha'shulchan b'beis ha'knesses, as well as the tablecloth which is on the bima in the shul, sha'korin alav, that they read the Torah on it, asurin mishim klayim, in all of these cases, it would be forbidden to use one which contains klayim. V'chein vilon, also lasses miklayim. Similarly, it's forbidden to make curtains out of klayim. Avo parochas shelifnei aron hakodesh mutar. However, the parochas, the curtain which is hanging in front of the aron hakodesh, in front of the ark, so that is permissible to make it out of klayim. Halacha ches, agalos, wagons, sheyesh lehen mikseh, that they have a cover, shehasarim hochen behem, that the dignified people ride in it. V'yesh behen mechupin mibifnim bebig deitzemer, and there are those that are covered on the inside with wool garments, shehem klayim, which are made out of shatnis. Ki mistama nitru bechutei pishtan, because it is reasonable that they were sewn with threads of linen. Mutar lachas behem, it's still permitted to go into these wagons. Ubevad she yizaher, as long as he's careful, shelo yishain batzdadim, that he should not rest himself on the sides of the wagon. Sheyesh shom klayim, since there is klayim there. He certainly should be careful. Not to sit on any of the cushions which are made out of shatnis. And there are those that say that it's even permissible to sit on the cushions, since they are made in the way that they don't really come around to the sides of a person. In other words, it's simply a cushion that you sit on, but it's not a cushion that you sink into. If you sink into it so that it would partially cover your sides when you're sitting, so then that would be usur. But otherwise, according to this opinion, it would be mutter.